This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome in episode 6 of the Portland Winterhawks podcast. I'm your host, Andy Dirt Johnson. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving, some good downtime, some good food, enjoyed all the sports that was on your television. It was a busy week in Portland, even with the Hawks being gone. You had the PKI basketball tournament over at the Memorial Coliseum and the Moda Center. So a busy week of sports, football, hockey, everything going on this weekend, basketball, a lot of fun. And we tried to come out with a new episode last week. Just was hard to get everybody's schedules lined up with the Thanksgiving holiday, the players wanting to spend some time with their families on Thursday. The team was on the road Wednesday and Friday, so a challenging and a difficult schedule. So we're back this week and got a lot to get to, a lot to digest. I know Portland's coming off a rough weekend, but you look at what they did in the month of November. Opening the month, they blew a lead to Prince George and lost in a shootout. And you thought, that's a tough one. And then they didn't lose again for about 3.5 weeks until this past weekend. The first time all year they've suffered back-to-back losses in regulation. So that just kind of highlights how this team is playing and the way things are going here 22 games into the season. The top team in the Western Conference, the top team in the U.S. Division. And it has been a lot of fun to watch them so far early on in the season. Coming up in a bit on this episode, we'll catch back up with Mike Johnston, the head coach and general manager of the team. I love just kind of periodically throughout the season, catching up with him and see how he feels about things. He's usually a guy that says, hey, you know, talk to me in December about where my team is at and the way that we're playing, and then we can go from there. He likes to kind of feel out the start of the year and to have, you know, 17 wins in 22 games. That's about as good a start as you could ask for. I'm not sure anybody saw that coming, and so I'm curious his thoughts on the way his team's playing, what is upcoming for them, and then the trade deadline right around the corner in the WHL. It's coming up early in January, so a little over a month away. Is he eyeing any moves? And kind of how does he want to handle that? So a lot to talk to Mike about, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. But we'll start this episode, as I always enjoy doing, with the play-by-play voice of the Portland Winterhawks, Nick Merrick.
All right, let's roll on here on the Portland Winterhawks podcast. Joining me now, as he does on every episode, is the voice of the Portland Winterhawks, Nick Merrick, who sounded great on television this past weekend, calling the game up there in Seattle. Wasn't a great one for Portland as the winning streak came to an end. Buddy, first off, how was your Thanksgiving? Everything go good?
Andy, appreciate it. Things went really well. Obviously, a little bit different this time of year. The PKI Invitational was a blast to kind of see here in town. And earlier in the week, it was exciting seeing that get set up. And I'm a big college basketball fan, too. So I got to enjoy one game, actually. Made a different Thanksgiving and saw my UNC Tar Heels play, although it wasn't a great week for them. But, man, UP was playing some great ball. I can't believe how well they did at PKI. So that was fun. Dad came to town, and then he got to go up with me to both Seattle and then Vancouver. So kind of a rare weekend on the road for the Hawks. Typically, the team likes to have those home games over Thanksgiving week here at the VMC. But, you know, obviously it didn't work out that way, and it was kind of fun to get a little change of pace, and it was a great Thanksgiving.
Well, that's good to hear. I totally forgot you're a big UNC guy, and they were in town, so that's exciting. You got to go watch your college hoops team play. That's always fun. They don't come out to Portland, Oregon very often. Let's get to the games from this weekend. You mentioned having to go on the road. I mean, the last time we talked a couple weeks ago, we took the week off for Thanksgiving, obviously. It felt like Portland was never going to lose again. It's kind of back where you were at the start of the year when they got off to that great start, one of the best in franchise history. And then you suffered a couple losses, and then there they were again, just rattling off win after win after win. So before I get to the good, let's get to the bad. What did you see this weekend? I mean, Seattle kind of took it to them after Portland was able to win the first two matchups earlier this year. The Vancouver game, a 3-1 loss on Sunday night. What did you see? Anything stand out to you that went against Portland this weekend?
I thought the first two games the Hawks beat Seattle, that they played more of their Winterhawk style of hockey. It was better controlled from Portland. They did a really good job there playing their game, getting to the front of the net, creating chances early, getting that momentum and that rhythm started kind of from the opening puck drop. But we saw on Friday's game, maybe a little turkey hangover there for the team. coming back, it's a different travel. You come back on Wednesday night. You have Thursday where you're trying to relax, I'm sure, with the billet families and see one another, at least if you can, in the evening time. And you know, you're also dealing with a couple of injury bugs, which is never great, but teams have to handle that and learn how to, you know, troop through those types of things. So it just wasn't a great start to that game in Seattle, and that kind of hurt the Hawks, I think, overall, because when Seattle or Portland, you know, plays the lead, they're very effective. And we saw that on Friday when Seattle got the lead, they never relinquished it.
Yeah.
Though, you know, there was a couple of pushes there from Portland. Power play tried to get things going. They were kind of hit and miss. But overall, the tempo, I can't tell you the last time, if at all, this season, the team was outshot by 10-plus in a single game. So that kind of shows how much the Hawks have been dominating this season. But, you know, you tip the cap to Seattle. They added a couple new pieces. They got Jared Davidson back. He's one of their alternate captains. There's no official captaincy yet for Matt Odette's team, but I'm sure that'll be coming eventually after all these trades finalize. Nolan Allen, he was the player that they essentially Seattle traded the farm for in a move essentially to put all your chips in on this year, maybe next year if you get him as well as a 20-year-old, if Chicago decides to send back their first-round pick. And Allen looked really good. It just kind of helped Korchinski back there because, defense was kind of the biggest struggle for Seattle in that first meeting. So they shored that up by adding him. We didn't even see Luke Prokop yet. He was out with an injury, which is unfortunate because I've only heard great things about his game. Kind of excited to see him play within the U.S. division. But, you know, you kind of tip the cap to Seattle. They pulled a little page of the Portland Winterhawks books with six different goal scorers in that one. And then, unfortunately, you know, the team couldn't respond on Sunday. But in Vancouver, I'm sure we'll chat about that in a little bit. But I think the one thing to note, I know it stinks to lose, and I was kind of reflecting on this on our drive back from Vancouver, because thinking about it, too, from the Winterhawks perspective, nobody likes to lose. I don't like being around, you know, after a loss. Like, nobody wants to sit in that because it's tough. Like, you know, you're invested with the team. You want the team to succeed. But at the end of the day, you take a deep breath. You say, okay, team's dealing with some injuries. Good chance for other people to get some different line perspectives. You're getting different players on the second power play, the second and third penalty kill. And, you know, you're going to find that benefiting a team later in the season. And the fact that we're talking now after Thanksgiving, and those were the first back-to-back losses for the Winterhawks in regulation, that's pretty impressive too. So it compliments Andy when he said it was the best franchise start in team history, and it still is. 17 wins in the first 20 games plus two bonus points there. It is the best 20-game start for the Hawks ever. So pretty incredible. But, you know, some things to work on and hopefully some players to kind of step up in some of these absences.
Well, and I think to your point about Seattle and the players that they're adding to the roster, and we'll see what Portland's going to do now in the coming weeks. But exciting to think about those matchups the rest of the season, how good they both are in the Western Conference. And, I mean, Portland's like 9 points clear of Everett, who's the number three team in the Western Conference right now. They're 5 points clear of Seattle, but those teams are going to be battling all year. And to your point on the schedule, it isn't. I mean, the last time before this Friday after Thanksgiving that they lost, last time was all the way back on November 2nd, and it was the blown lead against Prince George. They ended up losing in a shootout. They went almost the entire month of November without losing a game. They almost got out of the month, and then, you know, a couple of tough ones, and now we'll see if they can bounce back as we're recording this here tonight against Seattle. But let's get to the consistent play, because that what they did in the month of November was really eye-opening, and the amount of goals that they were scoring, the offense was clicking, you were getting great goaltending. I mean, I think the power play numbers, too, jump out to me. I mean, the number one power play, I believe, in the entire Western Hockey League, a ton of shorthanded goals when things are rolling. And we'll see if they can get back on track tonight against Seattle, a tough matchup. What was standing out to you when you were watching them win all those games?
Yeah, you're right. The power play was one of the big leading catalysts there for that Winterhawks team. It was kind of a strong team play overall, and I feel like we've said it a lot, but it was just different puck distribution, different players scoring. Obviously, you know, Gabe Claussen, for an example, started the season unbelievable, right? He had 6 goals in his first 2 games. Then, of course, had a little bit of a minor injury there that kept him out for just a couple of games. But when he came back, he was still effective. But in that transition period, if you will, when Gabe Claussen got injured, it was a new player stepping up. And we saw it start right after week 1. It was different players each and every game kind of producing, different players recognized by as the 3 stars of the game, which, yeah, it's a little fluky, right? But because obviously the media and the personnel on site kind of will call out who the 3 stars of the game are, and that's when it gets announced in the arena. But the fact that you see so many different players on that, and we're only not even in December yet, it kind of shows how well the team's been distributing offense. Defensively, he's been really good. Jan Spoonar's had a great start to his season. He's still doing impeccable things. Just that 1 loss in regulation against Seattle earlier in last weekend. Otherwise, he hasn't lost a game outside of that in regulation time. Januzzi's been great. I mean, we've always said he's been dialed in. I feel like he's been playing some really strong hockey as of late, too. And the defense is coming around. So you're kind of getting a little bit of pushes from all sides of things. And I think there's a lot of positivity to take for. I think the next jump for the Hawks is going to be just finding that consistency now, which is funny because they had it before. And it sounds like, you know, why are you saying that, Nick? Like, the team has 17 wins in, what, 22 games? But it's just kind of like playing more of the full games. Because I thought the team came out on Sunday in Vancouver, which needed to be a response. The Giants just lost before. They were shut out by Regina. The Winterhawks had that tough game against Seattle. They lost by 5. And Portland came out of the first period looking really good. But then it just kind of let off the gas a little bit in the second period. And a couple of shorthanded goals against, which is pretty unconventional for the Hawks. They haven't done that at all this season. So they gave up some goals on their power play, which you don't often see for the top team in the Western Hockey League in power play numbers. And then just a couple of defensive mistakes. But it's those messages that the team will learn. They'll work through now early. And if you're going to get losses, get the losses now in November. Don't get them in February and March. So that's obviously the biggest takeaway point. I know the guests in the podcast have always said they wanted points early, which of course you do. Mm-hmm. You don't want to surrender points. So if you're in those tough, tight games, you want to pull away with it. Well, it really wasn't a tight game against Seattle on Friday. So you're okay. Just take some messages. You learn from it. Of course, maybe on Sunday you'd want to maybe try to fight back and sneak out a point. But he's been playing so well, and you don't have Dawson Pastrnak. He injured himself on that Friday game in Seattle. You don't have Buttazzone. You don't have Shelter. You don't have Chyzalski. So there's 4 consistent forwards in your lineup who are no longer a part of the club, you know, right, because they're still dealing with their injuries. They're on the mend. And at least 3 of them for now that we know are week to week, so probably won't see them at earliest until just before the holiday break if we get lucky. But then you have to have some defensemen kind of step up in those forward roles. I thought Josh Morey played great as a forward in his time there with Seattle. So it's interesting because the lineup's got to be a little versatile. You're bringing in some affiliate players now for the first time. You're going to see a couple more, I think, later this week hit the rosters from the affiliate player perspective and get some new prospects in to get some time in Portland. So long term, it's going to look good. Short term, you know, you're scratching your head thinking, ah, shoot, I'm missing, you know, X amount of goals and X amount of power play guys, PK guys. But, you know, it's a learning curve, and I think the team will figure it out. And this is always with Mike Johnson. We're hearing from today, too. He always says he looks at his team around the Christmas break, so we're right around there. And then the team will really be able to evaluate where they stand in the standings.
Well, I think it's a great perspective to have, too, where I think one of the hardest things about following a team, whether it's as a fan, a media member, or somebody that covers them, whatever the case, like not getting too high with the highs and not getting too low with the lows and understand, like, this is a long year, man. We got games on the schedule in March. Like, this, we are a long ways away from this thing being over. And so, you know, when they win a handful in a row, they have such a good month in November, it's like they're never going to lose again. And then they lose back-to-back games, and it's like, oh, my God, what's happening? Why are they losing back-to-back games? Right. And it's good to have the perspective on who's in the lineup, who's out of the lineup, and all that stuff matters throughout the course of the year. Now, you just pointed to it. I'm excited to talk to Mike here in a moment about it because I can't even imagine, and I'll go back. I can't remember, you know, how you felt at the start of the year, but as you point out, Mike always likes to say, I mean, talk to me in December, right? I got 3 months. I'm going to figure this out. I got some young guys. Let's see who fits. Let's see who doesn't. They made a trade, got rid of a defenseman. All right, we named our captain. They're kind of feeling their way through. And for a team that says, oh, you know, we'll talk to you in December to have, what, 36 points in, you know, however many games they played. So that's a pretty good start to the year. So I got to imagine they're feeling pretty good. What was your thought coming into the year? Because I can't remember how you felt in the preseason and how, if you knew how Mike felt. They got to be over the moon at the start that they've been off to. And now we can see when the real season for the head coach begins.
100%. Obviously, Mike will answer this one better. I'll just give Nick Merrick's media perspective of it coming into the season. But you know, on paper, the Winterhawks looked good. I had a sneaky suspicion that you'd probably not see a Tyson Kozak and you would not see a Cross Hannes. Obviously, those two have come true, and they're doing terrifically in the American Hockey League, which is, you know, its own funny caveat in its own right, because I remember Mike was kind of saying, you know, he gave a quote in the summer and said, well, you know, it's unfortunate that we don't have those guys available for this season as 20-year-olds. But in that same regard, doesn't that mean we're doing our job? And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, the whole point is you want to push the guys pro. You want them to advance their careers, be it on the ice, in the school, or both. You know, so the fact that that's happening, it's like, shoot, because, you know, you play the what-if games. I almost did that last year. Like, oh, what if Reese Newkirk came back? You know, outside of even Seth Jarvis. Like, what if the team just had Newkirk back in that role he'd play as a centerman? Now you look at this year, like, whoa, wow, what if this year's team had Cross Hannes and Tyson Kozak and they had to stay in the Western League? Like, this team would be even more next level. So I knew the team was going to be good because you get those players taking the next step, but that's what's so exciting about the Winterhawks. Like, there's always that next player that comes in and you're waiting for him. Like, you're looking at him in the previous year and thinking, okay, this guy had some really good flashes. Can he make a big jump? And two guys in particular that I kind of want to highlight, Kyle Chizowski and Marcus Nguyen.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they both were outstanding rookies. I guess you got to kind of call them two-year rookies because of that COVID season. They only got about 15 games in. But both those two really elevated their play this year. They're playing awesome hockey. I know one of them's injured right now, and I hope Chizowski comes back. But, you know, it proves something. He's wearing an A on his sweater. He's a leader in that locker room. He really is kind of thriving in that role. And maybe you won't find that if you get a Cross Hannes or a Tyson Kozak back. So I think that's really, you know, kind of exciting to see that there's so much depth in this system. And it may not look like it now, but the more that teams start to play more minutes, those guys get into game situations, you'll find some new developers. I don't think I thought this team would win 17 of the first 22 games, Andy. I really don't. But I feel like they'd be in the top part of the U.S. division. I had no doubt this is a playoff team coming in. Like, that's a no-brainer. Chalk them up. Like, I could have penciled that. I could have put that in pen. Ink, had somebody sign it and say, okay, Nick, this is now, you're legally bonded to it. Like, I would have, yep, no problem. Where do I sign? You know, just because that's what Mike Johnson teams do. But then you look at it now and thinking, wow, okay, this team's kind of really impressing. Like, they got off to a quicker start than I think Mike would have imagined, the coach would have imagined, I would have imagined, people in the office would have imagined. And that just kind of speaks to the character in the locker room and them coming together and how tight they are. And then it's funny, too, because I'll kind of end on this one. You know, I feel like I got so many people asking me questions, and they'll come up to me during games, or they'll shoot me a note on social or text me and say, you know, oh, do you think the Winterhawks are going to add so-and-so or look at this player?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, the fact that the team's already in this point right now is interesting because it's so early in the season yet. Yes, the trade deadline's in early January, let's call it. I think it's January 10th or something like that. But the fact that you're looking around the league, too, and the team's got so many wins, do you want to trade a 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 3 players right now to acquire an asset like Nolan Allen? You don't need to do that. I don't think you do.
Hmm.
You know, this team's pretty good from within. So I feel like, you know, in terms of that trade talk that everyone's trying to bring into the picture because they want to win another championship. And it's exciting because that's when those conversations are happening, it usually means the team, you know, the fan base wants to go for it. I love hearing that. But I think just tap the brakes. I'm sure Mike will settle everything down here when you chat with him as well, if you bring this up. But, you know, it's one of those, like, just hold on. Let's see how the team goes in December. Let's wait till after the holiday break, see if there's a team that, you know, kind of wants to move just to more of a role piece. And maybe the Winterhawks only trade like a fourth round pick because those picks are valuable for the Hawks. They do not miss very often in the draft. I mean, look at Marcus Nguyen, right? He's drafted 11th round. Kyle Chizowski, first pick. Teams didn't have their first two round picks that year. He was the first one they took. He was a round three selection. He's been unbelievable. Like, the team doesn't miss. It's insane. So, you know, those things then have kind of extra value for Portland than they would maybe even for other teams. So it's going to be fun to see how this next, I guess I call it the 3-week stretch with Mike. Like, I'm kind of curious to see what kind of a run this team goes on, because now is when you're going to see who really wants to play with those injuries. Somebody's going to step up. You got to play some big Western Conference opponents. You got Seattle a few times. You got Everett a few times. Victoria hopefully is a more manageable game for you this weekend. And then looking ahead, it's a home and home with Vancouver, who obviously just played you tough. So there's some exciting ones ahead as well.
Yeah, I love the point on the deadline, too. It's immediately where everybody's mind goes, right? It's coming up a little over a month away. What are they going to do? Who are they going to add? I like the point. Hey, they got 36 points in 22 games. They've won 17 of their 22 games. That's pretty good. So they might not need to add anything to the roster. Right. Now, I love this time of year because, Lord knows my wife jumps the gun early. Like, she decorated for Christmas before Thanksgiving, like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Was like, screw it. She had the day off, and we got all the Christmas stuff up. The day after Thanksgiving, we're up cutting down a Christmas tree, Lord knows where. So we're immediately on to the holidays, and I feel like the Hawks are going that direction too. We got a couple of really cool things coming up, and I want you to tell the listeners the toy drive, which is a big thing every year, and then a game that I'll be at that I cannot wait. It's for like a bucket list thing for sports fans in the Northwest. If you haven't been to a Teddy Bear Toss game, you need to go to a Teddy Bear Toss game. But let the listeners know what they need to know about the toy drive and the Teddy Bear Toss, because they're both coming up here in the next 2 weeks.
No, thanks, Andy, for that. You're right. It's definitely tis the season, right? Toy Drive games on Friday night here at the VMC, December 2nd. Great game against the Victoria Royals. Hopefully, the team can get back in the win column in front of the Hawks fan base on the weekend. But it's just a great initiative with Les Schwab and Fox 12. It's a part of their Toy Drive. The Hawks have partnered with those two to kind of make the holiday season memorable for those in need in the area. And they partner... they, as in Fox 12 and Les Schwab, partner with 50-plus local organizations that the Winter Hawks are tapped into as well. And all we're asking is just to bring any new unwrapped gifts to the VMC for that game day. And just one, you just have to bring one. If you want to bring a couple, phenomenal.
Yeah.
You don't have to bring any, but it's, you buy a $10 toy at a Fred Meyer, or you're roaming around and see something at the toy store with your kids. Like, just think about grabbing another one, an action figure, a doll. Some Hot Wheels, something you would enjoy, and just bring that to the game. Those will all be donated to local organizations for those in need for the holiday season, so that way they can have a memorable Christmas, just like we all will. And then the Teddy Bear Toss game, you hit the nail on the head there, Andy. It is the best game of the year. Maybe outside of playoffs, right?
Everyone likes
playoffs. But for the for the regular season, I've always called it, it's the best celebration in sports. There's nothing like it in any sport. Basketball, football, baseball, hockey, NASCAR, golf, you name it. Like, this one takes the cake. When you're on the ice and you're playing a team game and that first goal goes in and the audience and the crowd, the fans get to get involved with it, and they take their teddy bears that they purchase as well and they throw them on the ice and then all those bears get donated. It's insane. Like, the fact that there's, aspiring professional players on the ice scoring a goal, going for their own celebration like any hockey team would do when they get their hugs in the corner, and there's bears toppling over the boards and coming onto the ice. It's a sight like you would never imagine. I know many Hawks fans tuning into this, of course, they've been to many of them, as we all have. But if you're a new listener, or maybe you're stumbling into this one, it is such a fun game. I'm already hearing there's over 8,000 seats sold for that one as well. So we're approaching a sellout, which is going to be unbelievable. And that game's right around the corner as well, Andy. December 10th, Saturday night, against Seattle. So need more reason. It's a great rivalry game. And that one might absolutely blow the roof off this VMC. So it's going to be a thrilling one. I'm kind of excited, too, because... Andy, it's going to be a little different for me. You and Mike are going to be able to call the game on television. So maybe if you aren't in town, you can't make it, you could tune into Portland CW. You could tune in to Fox up in the Seattle area. But I'll be kind of roaming around with a little Mike, and I'll do a little in-arena emceeing that day. So it's going to be kind of fun. I'll have a different approach. Well, you're helping me take care of the broadcast duties for the game. So we'll try to bring some exclusive interviews throughout the game as well, which might be fun for the fans to kind of get a little different taste of the Teddy Bear Toss.
That's really cool. And I'm glad we brought this up, because you're close to a sellout. I mean, sometimes you feel like you can wait. Oh, they won't sell out. Go get your tickets, because they could be gone soon. That game's coming up a little over a week from tonight. A week and a half, I should say, from today. So Seattle at Portland, Saturday, December 10th. And then, as Nick mentioned, the toy drive coming up this Friday. Really cool occasion. Great stuff that the Hawks do in the community, and I love the impact that they're making. So if you can, donate, and I cannot wait to get back out. College football is done, so my weekend duties are over. Oregon season did not end great, but hey, you know what that means? That means it's time for more Winter Hawks hockey, and I can't wait to get back out to the VMC and see you soon. Thanks as always, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll catch up again soon.
That's what we like to hear, pal. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you have a great holiday season. Looking forward to seeing you at the rink here in a couple days.
All right, continuing now on the Portland Winterhawks podcast with the head coach, general manager of the Winterhawks, Mike Johnson, our good friend. And we always love catching up every couple of weeks just to see how things are going. So, Coach, first off, thanks for the time. I know you had a lot of travel around your Thanksgiving, but let's start there. How was Thanksgiving at the Johnson household?
Well, we were going to stay on the road, but we played in Seattle on the Wednesday, or we played on the road in Everett on the Wednesday night, and we had a game against Seattle up in Seattle on Friday. We decided to come home to Portland and allow the players to enjoy some Thanksgiving time with their billets and the staff as well. So it was great on Thursday to have a day off and have our Thanksgiving dinner. And then we got back on the road again up to Seattle and then into Vancouver for two games on the weekend.
Is it kind of tough when with your team? You got to, hey, go enjoy your time with your family, but hey, don't enjoy too much. Like, I don't need too much tryptophan running through your system. Is there any warning there? Or you just say, hey, you go enjoy your time with Thanksgiving.
No, we always have a plan for the day, and we want to make sure that our players on Thanksgiving got out, got active.
Yeah.
We had a lot of sickness going through the team the previous 4 or 5 days, so we were really concerned about that. So we wanted to make sure that the guys stayed with their billet family, and it seemed like the flu was just going through our team for about a week. And so they got out active, but stayed home that day, had a nice Thanksgiving, and then we went up to Seattle and Vancouver.
Yeah, you mentioned, I'm glad you brought that up, the flu going through. I know you got some guys that are banged up right now, too, and that's just, I mean, it's a product of playing a physical sport. But how are you feeling about the health of your club as you're now, a couple of weeks away from the holiday break, and the depth and the ability to maybe fill in for some of those guys, especially on the offensive side, who are going to be out maybe for a bit?
Yeah, we've been kind of struck all of a sudden with several forwards being out.
Yeah.
So we had, last week we had 4 forwards out for the Everett game and 3 for the Seattle and Vancouver game. So we had those guys out with injuries, and then we had a couple guys with sickness. Our defense, which is the strength of our team, has been quite healthy. So we're happy with that because they're really the core group that drives our team, I think. And then our forward depth, as far as our scoring goes, that's a little bit of a concern right now, so we're going to have to make sure, as we talked to the team about yesterday, that we really take care of our own zone and we really take care of the puck tonight against Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle, it's going to be a fun game tonight back at home after that road trip over Thanksgiving. 22 games in, Coach, and 17 wins in those 22 games. How are you feeling? I haven't talked to you since kind of right as the season was tipping off. How are you feeling now that we're, a little over a quarter away into the year?
Well, obviously, we've had a great start, Andy. It's one of the best starts in franchise history, and I give a lot of credit to our players over the summer, how they came back, and both the fitness-wise and just prepared after losing out to Seattle last year. They came in with a real determined attitude, and it showed in the start we had to the season. And at every level, whether it's the NBA, the NHL, NFL, getting out to a good start is just so important, and the Trailblazers know that. It just takes a little bit of pressure off, gives you a cushion for when you have times when your team is sick or injured, or you're in a little bit of a slump. Those things are going to happen during the year, but if you get out of the gate early, especially up until the 20-game mark, and you're sitting in a pretty good spot, then it really helps for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I know, and talking to a lot of your players on the podcast so far this year, they've all echoed that sentiment that they felt like maybe they left some points on the board early in the season last year that they wanted back at the end as you're kind of in those conference and divisional races. And, God, if we would have won that game in January or December or November, maybe we would be in a different spot now. Now, you like to say usually kind of, we'll see. Let's get to December. Let's feel this thing out and see where things are going to go from here. If I had asked you at the start of the year, did you envision this good of a season coming? Has your opinion maybe on the year changed at all because of this great historic start, now that we're to the point in December where it's kind of like, all right, now it's time to get going?
Well, usually, as you know, I look forward to the 20-game mark because that gives us an indication of where we sit in our division, where we sit in the conference, kind of our projection as a team as we head into the trade deadline in January. If we may want to add a piece, we think we're right there. So for me right now, when I look at our conference, Kamloops is a very good team, but we've played well against them. Seattle's a very good team, and we played well against those guys. So it's where you sit at the 20-game mark, but also how you played against what you consider the top teams in your conference. And I feel we're very competitive. It's going to be an interesting December as the teams handle players being away at the World Junior and different things happening with their group. And then the new year, once the trade deadline happens on January 10th, then it's really a sprint to the finish. But I think we're right there. I really do. I like our group. I like our depth. I like our youth. So it's going to be an interesting stretch run.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You mentioned the deadline. I know we do have a hard time as a society, I think, focusing on, you know, enjoying the now and let's not look too far ahead. But I have heard from a lot of Hawks fans that are already looking ahead to the deadline because you mentioned it's a little over a month away. Does a start like this change the way you view or approach a deadline? Is that a year-by-year basis of we got to see who's available and who's willing to take calls? Like, or does this start of a season make you say, hey, we don't need to make any adjustments because we feel great about the way we're playing? How are you feeling about the deadline now that it's about a month away?
Well, if I look back to 1920 when we won the league that year, we got off to a good start that season and we were heading into the trade deadline and we decided to stay pat and just I liked our group at that time, the chemistry that we had. Other teams were making a lot of moves, and we had a great finish to the year. And we, outside of COVID shutting down the playoffs, I thought we were definitely the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have to be careful about adding because it does change the chemistry of your group. If you're going to add, our philosophy has always been look for that one piece that may give your team a boost. And we did that last year. But Taylor Gauthier coming in, he was the one player we added at the trade deadline. He had a huge impact on our team, one of the best goaltenders in the league. And I thought he was, you know, largely responsible for how we turned around our second half. But this season will be the same. We'll look maybe for one piece that'll help our group out. And if that piece is not available, I still like our team and I know we can play with anybody.
The way you're playing is kind of let you sleep a little bit easier at night if there isn't that one guy out there on the market. Now you mentioned the way your group's playing, a couple of young guys, you know, just talking to Nick and he pointed out Chizowski and Newen and the way that they're kind of developing here and there. I guess you count the COVID year, but their second full season at the WHL level. It's remarkable your guys' ability, no matter where you're drafting them or if you have a first round pick or a second round pick, to find these guys. And then you look up 2 years later and there they are performing and excelling and improving. What do you think it is about your ability to develop talent? And what are you seeing from some of those young guys that are filling into bigger roles here for the first time in their career?
Well, I think the first thing is our scouting staff does a phenomenal job. I looked back the other day on the last 10 years of draft picks and we produce, as you know, more NHL players than mm-hmm. any team in our league. Our scouts have the ability certainly to find players in the early rounds, but their skill set is finding players the 5 through 10. Those 5th through 10th rounds, we found some excellent players. And you mentioned Marcus Nguyen is a good example there. And we had, you know, Kozak the year before.
Yeah.
Some of our top players are guys that our scouts have found later in the draft or even listed. So I think first is scouting. The second thing is development when they get here. We have to have a very good development plan for them. And as all organizations talk about, but they don't often do, is you have to have patience with the players because they're young guys and they're guys that are moving away from home and the whole environment's new. You have to be patient. You can't get frustrated with the players because as we look at our team, some of our young guys that we were patient with have all of a sudden now become really core impact
right.
players at 18, 19, 20, which we really need.
Yeah, that is a delicate balancing act. I know that we've talked about before. You know, one of the things that has improved a ton for you guys and has really stood out here in the last couple of weeks is, I mean, almost going the entire month of November without a regulation loss. I know you didn't have the weekend you wanted this past weekend, but the power play is just jumping off the page when you watch your team and how effective they've been. I believe the top power play numbers now in the WHL. Like, what has clicked there? Is it just having more reps, more continuity? Is there something you've changed? Schematically, because that seems to be every night when I'm turning the, you know, the broadcast on or checking out the box score, those numbers are jumping off the page every game.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things. We've had a good focus on the power play the last several years, and I think the young players that we started to put on the power play last year have really grown into their roles and their reads. And the other thing is, to be honest, like Kyle Gustafson came back from Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good power play coach, and he's done an excellent job with that group. I thought this year, right from day one, he had some different looks that he brought from the NHL level to our group. and our group has responded. Out of the gate, they were strong in the power play, and it makes us a dangerous team. If you take a penalty against us, we have the ability to score right away. So you have to be careful against our group if you're going to take penalties.
Yeah, it makes them defend you a little more delicately too as well, and maybe that opens up your offense a little bit because they're worried about taking the penalty and giving the power play opportunity. We got the Teddy Bear Toss game coming up, and I can't wait. It sounds like it's almost a sellout. It's always a fun night when it comes around. What's your vantage point like during the Teddy Bear Toss night, and how many teddy bears fall into your portion of the bench there?
Well, it's a pretty exciting night, as you know, because not only for our players, whoever scores the first goal, what an opportunity, what a night.
Yeah.
Score a goal and then 5,000 teddy bears, 6,000 teddy bears converge on the ice and are thrown from the stands. It's also a great fan experience to interact with the team and the game in that way. I'm not sure when it came about, but it must have been 7-8 years ago that Teddy Bear Tosses came into existence at different arenas throughout North America. But it's a great initiative, and then we can give back to the kids as we take those teddy bears after the game and we distribute them through the hospital. So it's just a fun night overall, and I know right now looking at the attendance projections for that game, it could potentially be a sellout, which would be great for the team, great for the fans.
Yeah, Saturday night home game, Seattle in town, thousands of teddy bears, a sellout. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you got some other big games coming up, including Seattle tonight. So I know you're busy. It's a game day for you, so I always appreciate taking a few minutes. I love catching up and hearing your thoughts on how the team's playing. Continued success. Thanks as always, Coach, and we'll do this again soon.
Thanks, Andy, for the time. Appreciate it.
All right, that'll do it for Episode 6. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. Thanks again to Nick Merrick for hopping on the pod. Thanks again to Mike Johnston. I always enjoy those conversations. I love hearing the little anecdotes about, you know, Kyle Gustafson coming back from the NHL level and kind of implementing some new power play schemes for them. They are clearly working the top power play unit right now in the WHL. They have been explosive on special teams, and it really makes them tough to beat when they're putting in a couple of power play goals, it feels like, in every single game. And a reminder to fans, if you're listening, we're dropping this episode on Wednesday, November 30th. I know not everybody listens right away. Portland is in town. They're playing tonight. Seattle is in town. It's a 7 o'clock puck drop. Back at home on Friday, that is the toy drive night that Nick mentioned. Victoria in town. A good night for Portland to get a win and kind of feel good. Victoria's not having the best of seasons. And then the one that I know everybody has circled on their calendar. I know I do every year when the schedule comes out. When is the Teddy Bear Toss game? It is coming up a little over a week from now, Saturday, December 10th. Seattle is in town again, so you get the rivalry game. And I'm sure a lot of folks who listen to this podcast have been to a Teddy Bear Toss game or two over the years. If you have not, if you're just diving in and trying to learn more about the Hawks and you happen to have, you know, stumble across this podcast, that is a game that you want to get to because it is one of the cooler events of the entire year in the Portland sporting area. That game is near a sellout, as Nick pointed out, so make sure if you're kind of thinking about, do I want to go? When do I need to get tickets? Get them sooner rather than later because it sounds like that game is going to be a sellout here pretty soon, and so it's going to be a lot of fun again Saturday, December 10th, coming up a little over a week from now. One of my favorite nights of the entire year. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be on the TV call with Mike Benton. It's awesome. Teddy Bears flying all over the place. It's a rivalry game, so can't ask for anything more than that for the Teddy Bear Toss night. And that will do it for us. So a reminder, no matter if you listen on, you know, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you find this, try and download it and subscribe to it. You'll get an update every time a new episode is out. We're planning on coming out with another episode next week after taking a little two-week break there for the Thanksgiving holiday. But that will do it for us. Thanks, as always, for tuning into the Portland Winterhawks podcast. Until next time, I'm your host, Andy Dirt Johnson. The Hawks.
Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.